Hello, friends. Welcome once again to the Perfect Bound Podcast. This is a podcast all about anything and everything comic books and comics related, brought to you by the Panel Jumper and Comic Dungeon. My name is Ben. With me, as always, is Cole Hornaday.
Hey, Ben.
Nicole Lamb.
Hello.
Chris Casso.
Hello.
And today we have a special guest. Jeff Carpenter is with us. Welcome, Jeff.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
And to tell us more about Jeff, I'm going to throw it over to Chris.
Hey. So to start, just to give an idea as to how this came about, I was hunting through Kickstarters, as I usually do, and I came across Jeff's Kickstarter for Field Notes, an Ecological Journal of Nature's Marvels. And I really loved what I saw, and I kept on sharing pictures with Nicole and a couple other people. And I wasn't necessarily going to buy it right off the bat. Then I hit your page with the Ninja Turtles, and I was like, take my money.
So can we double back and tell folks what is the gist of the book?
It is, it's an ecological journal, basically following field notes of like paintings of different animals that you've encountered in nature. Mm-hmm. But they are basically embodiments of our favorite superhero characters.
And not just Marvel or DC, but
a little bit of everything.
And,
yeah. So, for example, Batman is a bat with a cape and cowl.
What?
And he loves to raise a lot of orphans and keeps finding orphan birds. So, and you got Wolverine, and you've got the Spider family, a little bit of everything. So then I reached out. Oh, I got my copy, and I was just like, wait a second, he's in Seattle.
Hey.
I should probably do something about this. And so reached out, and now we've got him on the show. So, Jeff, you're an illustrator, a designer, and a photographer. You've previously worked with Fifth Avenue Theater as a senior graphic designer, and you currently work with Wizards of the Coast. And you've worked primarily with Magic the Gathering, but it also looks like you've been working on the Transformer trading card game. So do you want to tell us a little bit about your career and history and...
Yeah, that's everything. Right. Thank you guys for bringing me in.
I really appreciate
it, especially since, you know, I live a couple miles from here, but just you found me on Kickstarter. It's such a cool coincidence and fun to come in here because I've come into the shop as a customer many times. I have been a graphic designer since I left school, and primarily for a long time I was working with musical theater, a little bit of time on the East Coast, but then landed in Seattle and got really lucky getting my foot in the door at the Fifth Avenue Theater, which... my bosses there would hate me if I didn't say that it was the largest subscription-based theater in North America.
Woo-hoo!
Anyway, it was just a fantastic place to be and really a good place to grow as an artist.
Mm-hmm. So what did you do at the Fifth?
Mm-hmm. I started off as sort of a guy grabbing coffee and making copies and everything. But immediately just working after hours all of the time until eventually I could be like, hey, I design things. I should do this. Until they gave me a shot, and I was their graphic designer for several years until finally I was able to kind of take over the team and sort of kind of get to start to call my own shots in a way that was really, really fun. And the whole time, since it's a nonprofit theater, you know, it is rich in creative rewards, not in anything else.
That's right. Good experience. Yeah. And...
It really was an added kind of gun to the head to keep creating things. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned that, you know, I do photography, but a thing that was always most important to me and continues to be in kind of the creation of the book is I've always wanted to be an illustrator. Mm-hmm. So it's finding the way to get those opportunities. So I was able to work with the Fifth for a long time creating their artwork. And then once I reached the point where I was time to move on, went freelance for a while, and that went well, but I landed pretty quickly with Wizards of the Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And for anyone out there who doesn't know who Wizards is, I mean, it's based...
Yeah, but we're nerds in Seattle.
Right.
Yeah. Wizards are.
It's the coast, Ben. The coast.
Sorry.
Well, just in case, they're based here in Renton, and they're the makers of Dungeons & Dragons and Magic the Gathering and a bunch of other fun games. So, since starting there, first as a contractor, now as a full-time employee, thank goodness, that's a change.
Yeah.
I started off mainly working with Transformers when they launched that trading card game, like getting in on kind of the ground floor of working on that, and now with Magic the Gathering, I create a lot of packaging and special products, and paint as much as they'll let me.
Nice.
So you weren't doing illustrations, per se, as part of your job description at the Fifth? Is that right?
I sort of made it my job description. Yeah.
Well, when you lead the team, you
yeah. yeah, I was going to say.
Well, they always need art for their shows, mm-hmm. and as often as I could use those skills to not only, you know, design kind of the advertising and marketing that you see out there,
right.
the more I could use that as a conduit to create art, like the better off I was, and hopefully the better off they were, and that was a good place to learn. And now with Wizards, I mean, the reason why people love those games, aside from being great games, is their art's gorgeous.
It is gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. And
and so, they realize worlds very successfully, which is why I think your Field Notes book is so extraordinary. Because, yes, you borrow themes and ideas and images from known properties, but there is a weight and there's a biological... these look like real animals. These look like real animals wearing costumes. Of course, Wolverine is going to be a Wolverine, but their costume bits do not overwhelm their natural qualities. Mm-hmm. You know, because I feel like I'm looking at real animals when I'm looking at the illustrations.
I'm really glad you say that, because that's exactly what we are going for with this one. Conservation and biology has always been a huge interest for me. Mm-hmm. So being able to kind of combine these threads of, you know, a kid's nature book or a travelogue, you know, are together with the comic interest has been just a fusion that not only has been really fun to work with, but also like a bottomless well of characters to be able to have fun with. And plus something that as soon as I started doing cons, it's wonderful because even if you might not be as deep in the lore, you have some cute animals to look at. And if cute animals aren't your thing, there's some really fun lore here of being able to get all those inside jokes in there.
And so you just answered a whole bunch of questions I wrote down. So let's talk about your experience with the Kickstarter. So this was this your first Kickstarter?
This was my very first one.
And how did that, you know, how did that come together for you?
Taking this art series from just being individual pieces into being a book is something I've been wanting to do for a long time. And it kind of finally reached a critical mass where, you know, between different comic conventions where I would table, I would, you know, be able to crank out a few more pieces. And it started just as kind of solo animals, and then it became more complicated where it'd be these posters that kind of are what wound up being spreads in the book, where you kind of get to delve into a character and do the inside jokes. Until finally I reached this critical mass where I'm like, I kind of have enough of these that we can sort of get this going. So for the last year and a half, really, it's been like, all the spare time has been taking those ingredients and putting it together into something that makes coherent sense as a book and forming kind of a narrative.
Get the connective tissues together and
And as soon as I had enough that I felt like I knew that I had enough that in 6 months I would know what it was. I wanted to kickstart it just because, you know, the cost of starting something like this is quite high, but if you can get over that hurdle, it gives you a lot of freedom to create something really special. And it sort of coincided with, after a few years of trying, I was able to get into Emerald City Comic Con this last year.
Nice.
Which was a wonderful experience. I got into it off the wait list, and because someone got sick and couldn't show. So that meant I only had about 2 days' notice before the show to put this together. So already I knew that I wanted to do a Kickstarter, but it was sort of an amorphous, like, you know, sometime in the next couple months I'll put that together.
Right.
But with the opportunity of being at Emerald City Comic Con, where there's so many people there that you could connect with, I'm like, okay, I'm a dummy if I don't get this done in time for the con. Oh, no. So luckily my partner and I, my partner, Ren, who does everything with me, she was able to put the table together in lightning speed. Meanwhile, I just pulled two all-nighters and got the Kickstarter launched in time for us to do this.
And advertise at the con. And
To be able to use that foot traffic and reach these people that, you know, otherwise they just like walk away and maybe they'd be into the project and I wouldn't be able to capture that interest.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That must have been an intense 2 days.
It was. And it makes me really glad that in that kind of sleepless haze, I made something that caught your eye.
Because,
I felt very lucky that, you know, you never know what the reaction is going to be when you put something like this out there.
You're right.
I literally make all this stuff alone in my basement. So you don't know, but, launching a Kickstarter and not knowing what to expect, within 25 hours, we were fully funded.
Yeah.
Wow.
I couldn't quite remember. I was about to ask that. I was just kind of like, but I remember by the time I was looking at it, I'm like, oh, they're good.
Fine. And our goal initially was fairly modest, you know, enough to do, you know, enough copies for our backers of kind of a smaller paperback 70-page book. Mm-hmm. But luckily, the fundraising went well enough that by the end of it, we had hit every stretch goal, including making the book bigger, making the book hardcover, adding more pages. And so suddenly it went from...
And the metallic lettering.
Yeah. Yes, it is a beautiful book.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah. As a book.
Thank you. Yeah, we went from doing kind of a modest paperback to, by the end of it, a hardbound, foil-covered, 100-page illustrated book.
Mm-hmm.
So that's wonderful. But then, of course, you have to actually deliver it. So that
right.
That's a whole other big
job. Well, it's Kickstarter. Yeah. You don't have to deliver. Not everybody's delivered on their Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Oh, you silly man.
Well, you survived with your insanity intact, too, which some people don't always survive that, too.
No, I just, again, like coming from working nonprofit, like, you know, if you're a theater person or you're used to just not sleeping and really useful.
It gets harder when you get older.
It does.
Yes.
I'll warn you about that.
During the making of this book, I entered my 30s and, you know, I, you know, knock on wood, still hopefully fairly young into this lifespan, but I cannot pull the all-nighters like I could just 2 years ago. Yeah. It's a noticeable difference.
Yeah.
One other question I wanted to ask you was, so going through the book, like I can't remember if it was Cole or Ben, but one of them mentioned, it's just like, I didn't realize how many bird characters there were.
Right. Yeah.
Is there a particular favorite subject or animal that you like to focus on the most of, possibly birds, or just kind of everything or, you know?
Oh gosh. Yeah. And again, it's a bottomless well. Like a lot of the commissions that I've been doing as Kickstarter rewards are even additional characters that don't fit in here, and a lot of them are birds.
Well, it fits because, you know, there are so many bird lover, bird watcher field guides. I have one in my car. I think I have Copley's field guide to birds that mom insists I have. I keep in my glove box because she's a bird watcher and I should be too.
Well, you may just one day pull over and decide to look at a bird.
It happens, Ben. I know it can, I know it rocks your world a little bit, but it happens. I even got my field glasses in the back.
Hey, there you go.
And books like that are the inspiration for this. I know that
clearly.
For myself, my mom was a librarian. She, so I was constantly surrounded by like books anytime I wanted them, luckily. And what I know I was drawn to at a very early age was especially dinosaur field guides. So just watercoloring, you know, dinosaur field guides for myself at an early age, or books like Dinotopia that are kind of tongue in cheek and create this world that you're
totally immersive books. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So doing that with comic book characters has been wonderfully fun, including there's a biologist that I know who was nice enough to do a couple passes at the book. Nice. So there's a lot in here that's, you know, tongue in cheek, like there for the inside jokes, you know, or simply because it's cuter, like my bat's a fruit bat and those aren't native to North America. My biologist friend was very happy to remind me.
You're like, I know, shut up.
Aside from shenanigans for cuteness or character, the stuff in there is accurate. Like it works as a field guide.
Nice.
And the squirrel is unbeatable, so it's very accurate.
I love all those little flourishes. Even that little flourishes, the field notes that even transcend comics. Like you talk about the rat from Turtles as like a descendant, not a descendant, but related to the pizza rat of New York.
It's perhaps related to the pizza rat phenomenon. We need more study in the field.
Exactly. And like the notes you have about the tick, where the tick is
that was
indestructible,
so
but the moth is
my gosh.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And I'm looking over Ben's shoulder, and I'm like, why does that look? Oh my gosh, that's the tick in Arthur. So clever. what did you use as your studies? Did you have, did you go to the Burke Museum and did our friends, Scott Augustin pull the desiccated critters out of the drawer for you?
Well, what's wonderful, and so this project sprung out of the seeds of this project come from my partner and I volunteered with the Woodland Park Zoo for a while. Oh. And there was a zoo shift where I was, you know, in my khaki vest talking about bats and go home and pop on a Joel Schumacher Batman movie and start doodling.
That's awesome.
And the first little bat came out of that. And that's what kind of got this project going.
How cool.
Nice.
And you had asked what the favorite to work on was. And I think that the spreads that worked out, some of the ones I'm most proud of in this book are the detailed anatomies of the spiders of New York City.
Yeah.
Those were my favorite.
I love this page. I love how you got the creepiness of carnage with just the right spider there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, those are amazing.
Yeah.
And do you have, for the future, do you want to do more expansion on Field Notes, or did you want to like try something else, like get your teeth into a different franchise or anything? Or
that's a really good question because I work full time, so just like most of the people you talk to, like time is this precious commodity.
Yep. Yeah.
The way that I've worked, especially on these, you know, these are watercolor and oil paintings. So especially the oil paintings, like, you know, two pages in this book might take me, you know, a month and a half to do.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So this book from start to finish was about 4 years worth of, you know, spare time here.
No kidding.
You know, and not all of that time is obviously devoted to book, but like that's how long it's, the last year and a half, like fully dedicated, but about 4 years worth of sketches and doodles kind of building to it.
Mm-hmm.
There are two paths that I want to do here. I would love to do a second edition just because, you know, like Neil Gaiman says, the best way to learn how to make a book is by making a book.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff now knows a lot more about making a book than I did when I made the thing. Mm-hmm. So, there are things that I can't resist, like going in there for some more jokes and some more characters and, you know, maybe ditch that painting and replace it with a better one. So that'd be lovely. And then like hopefully do like a larger printing and get that out as a second edition since this, you know, sort of big foil bound first edition is for the backers. Thank you, backers. but also the temptation is, you know, this has had a lot of creative time put into it. I'm really curious to see what the next thing is. Mm-hmm. And part of doing the book was a little bit to put a kind of a bow on it, be as comprehensive as I could and, you know, kind of maybe try something wildly different with the next project.
Right.
Nice. I would love to see you do something like, there was a book that I'm very fond of from the 80s called by a British, I think he was a zoologist. His name Dougal Dixon, but the book was called After Man, A Future Zoology.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever heard of this
book? Just reprinted that
Did
recently.
They really?
Yeah, I have it. It's really cool.
In the early 2000s, Discovery Channel did a mockumentary adapted from it. You know, CG was not quite where it is now, but, and then there's a Japanese toy company that did little vinyl figures based on all the critters. So, of course, if you know me well, I was all over that, like, you know. I don't know, black on venom. I would love to see you do something like that. But this book is it's been out of print for a long time, and it was super hard to find. But now that it's back,
they updated it too.
Okay, great. I highly recommend tracking it down. And then they did a sequel of it called Afterman, which for years Archie McPhee was throwing away, and now I see them on eBay for like $200.
Wow,
is the way though.
Yeah, it is the way. So yeah, I would love to see you explore something like that. But I also know that there's only so much time in a day and so much
energy. Stuff like that is such a fantastic fusion of kind of the joy of world building that I get from my work at Wizards, just, you know, being a PBS kid and also being a dream. Like, combining all those things has been wonderful, and something like that would be a great next step to that.
Well, you have my support there. You know, if you ever need to brainstorm, Jeff.
A nice alternative so you don't have to spend 4 years on it is that there is a local publication called Almost Real that is very much the same idea that you're talking about, Cole.
Is that right?
And, but it's split up into different chapters by different creators. So everybody gets to choose one animal that they want to
show this to me.
Yeah, one animal that they get to create and put all their energy into a 4 or 5 page bit. And it's really fantastic anthology.
So it looks a lot like the Time Life books that I grew up with the diagrams and things like that and heavy text. That's so cool. I have to check that
That's
out.
Really cool. Yeah. That's exactly my jam.
Yeah. What would be something radically different that you feel inspired by besides something like Field Notes Guide?
Oh gosh. So something that'd be really fun to try the next time around. This one on the range between art book and narrative, I think that this particular project skews further into the art book area, mm-hmm. where it has a narrative, but it's sort of enough to keep you going through the material.
Mm-hmm.
You know, featuring a fictionalized version of myself who gets to do all the stuff that I want to be doing out in nature.
Mm-hmm.
But I think something that would be really wonderful to try the next time would be something that would be more narratively challenging, something mm-hmm. that something that had a lot more character and story to it.
Sure.
Cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wayne Barlow did a book called Expedition. And I don't know if you're familiar with Barlow's Guide to Extraterrestrials.
Yes.
Yeah. So he did another book that also got adapted by the Discovery Channel. And you could still find those at the Seattle Public Library. And I can't remember the name of the series, but it's these probes go to it's our first contact with another planet, other species, a whole different symmetry to how the creatures grow and develop. And mm-hmm. But in the book, he puts himself in the story as the one lone astronaut. In the TV series, they're robot probes that have appendages and things like that. So, was that what I was going to tell you about?
Welcome to Cole's brain.
Oh, but there's in the back of Jeff's book, there is this wonderful scale. What is it? How do you call it?
Oh, I have a.
You got the diagram or
poster of scale profiles.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And Jeff is in the image with all the critters. Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's really awesome.
It's a fun cap to the book where you mm-hmm. have all these creatures throughout the book, and then in the end you see
they're all coming to get you.
You mm-hmm. see them all in scale with each other, with myself in there. Initially, I just had a kind of a silhouette, but my partner, Ren, who edited the book, insisted that I have it be me.
Nice.
And as usual, she was right.
Because if I remember correctly, in the old Time Life books that mm-hmm. My family had from the 70s, there was a gatefold, and it had all these animals running. It was illustrated, all these animals running, and there was a neckety man, like, in the mid-ground running with the mm-hmm. deer and stuff like that, but give you the perspective on them and, you know, mm-hmm. just how much effort a man would need to make to keep up with pumas and bears and
well, and all of the animal books, or right. especially the dinosaur books,
yes.
that I ate up with a spoon.
Mm-hmm.
All of them had that final spread with the everything in scale profile.
That's
with
right.
you know, with some dorky looking dude there. So yeah. I get to be that. So that was too much of a temptation to just encapsulate everything together that
Absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely. Well, we definitely need to see from you in the future if you can get in with Marvel, and because they have every month, they always have a theme month, and some mm-hmm. of them are complete waste of time and paper.
Yes.
But having your covers be mm. an entire month of adapting their characters into the animals would
yeah.
be amazing.
Yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. hey, if you know some people, you know, hook me up, because we were talking before the show, the challenge of making the book is over, and that was, phew, okay, done. But now for me, I mean, this is my first book ever, and mm-hmm. I know that you talk to people who, you know, have a lot more experience under their belts. I know for me, the biggest challenge is, great, you made a book. Now, like, what do you do with it?
Right.
And
networking and...
Yeah, mm-hmm. actually finding a way to connect with those people. And, you know, people ask, you know, what is the greatest outcome you could have from this? And, like, making the book is awesome. And I love getting it in people's hands and getting that reaction. But the best outcome would be exactly what you're talking about, of being able to parlay this into... just more work and being able to keep going and doing mm-hmm. more stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So what is your goal? So you met your Kickstarter plan. Would you like to release this in hardbound and mainstream? What would you like to do with it?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I am getting everything out to my Kickstarter backers first because they've been very patient with me. But then the next phase, I do want to make those...
the second editions?
Well, first of all, I need to put packets together to these publishers, the people whose IP I'm referencing here, you know, to let them know, hey, I'm here. Mm-hmm. If you want some variant covers or some of this art, you know, let me know. Mm-hmm. It'd be very interesting to see if there was some possible collaboration there that
yeah.
could happen.
Uh-huh.
That'd be a dream come true.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, the goal would be to get this out as widely as I can, but... also just be able to use the stuff that I've learned and the connections I made to, you know, keep going and make something else and, you know, make something different and hopefully make it even better, like just use the skills from... What I don't want to have happen is to go through this whole process and learn lessons at every single stage, mm-hmm. practical and artistic, mm-hmm. and then not be able to use those to do something else, you know, and sharpen them even more.
Right.
So I need to work on having a more direct answer to that question.
But, you're doing great.
You made a book.
Yeah.
You made a really beautiful book. You're doing all right.
And I'm hoping that by making this, it means that I get to make more.
Yes.
And hopefully with a wider audience and with more collaborators.
Mm-hmm.
The IP question is interesting because, like, you're not drawing Batman or Spider-Man, but you are drawing a bat character wearing mm-hmm. a cape and cowl and a spider character that has Spider-Man markings or like something that someone might think of as Spider-Man's mm-hmm. markings. Did you have to clear any of this or does it fall under fair use or what's going on there?
So all the characters are inspired by mm-hmm. By these characters. You know, you mentioned the Ninja Turtles, Tick and Moth, mm-hmm. A lot of Marvel and DC characters. So what I'm doing here is... a nod to those characters, but not actually using those characters. Right. So
kind of falls under parody, it transcends.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah.
So this would technically be parody of those characters.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm doing that as fair use.
Yeah.
For my use with them, but I do know that might be a limiting factor as far as, you know, this book might be as far as I can take it without going too far away from parody.
Mm-hmm.
Without giving Disney some money.
Exactly.
But there's also a really vital mashup aspect that's happening. One of my favorite illustrations is the Peter Porker Spider-Ham reference that's mashed up with Charlotte's Web.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and it's like, that's really wonderful because there's... So help me out here, Gene. Peter Porker is mm-hmm. is an in-house send-up of Spider-Man, of Peter Parker, but then you've got Charlotte's Web interwoven in there, so it has three layers to it.
Mm-hmm. Some,
you know? Yeah. Some pig.
If people wanted to check out Field Notes, is it available just for general purchase?
For right now, it's available through my website, jeffcarpenter.net. I was able to do the Kickstarter and create these really lovely hardbound books. That is a limited quantity, but what I have is for sale on the website. And then also I'm going to be doing an event with you guys.
Yeah, so it's worth mentioning
now. Talk about that.
Yes. November 20th, and we actually just extended it today. It's going to go from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. And so you'll have copies of Field Notes there and a bunch of your prints mm-hmm. and other artwork. And just come on down and hang out with us, and you'll be able to check out all his awesome work.
Cool. So jeffcarpenter.net, if somebody wanted to go and find more of your things, is that where they should go, or do you have like other...
That would be the main place to go. Mm-hmm. So that has the book and a lot of my artwork, and just is probably the best way to keep in contact with me.
Cool.
Any other questions for Jeff?
Yeah, but that means we'll be here all night, so I'm going to have to leave him alone.
All right, one more question from Cole.
What is your dream project? In my mind, you've done some pretty dreamy gigs, and you kind of live in a dream. So what is your... I know this is dreamish, but do you have a big dream project you'd like to do?
Oh, gosh. You're right. I've been very lucky with the people I've been able to work with. But every step of that has been to become more and more of a visual storyteller.
Uh-huh.
And any way that I can kind of... gnaw at the edges of, you know, I love graphic design. I love being mm-hmm. a designer. But the more I can take that to a place where it's illustration and storytelling,
mm-hmm.
The happier I am. So if my dream were to come true, it would be just that. It would be able to you know, create worlds and tell stories just with my artwork. And
mm-hmm.
anytime I'm able to veer into that territory, I'm a happy, happy guy.
Excellent.
And so this year, especially... seeing this project come together has been, I think, a really wonderful first step to seeing that happen.
Great. Nice. Great.
Thank you.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks for coming on the show with us.
Yeah. Thanks for coming down, for visiting us in the store here.
Mm-hmm. That's my pleasure. This has been really fun.
All right. Well, again, Jeff Carpenter, you can check his stuff out at jeffcarpenter.net. That's our show. Thank you for listening. Perfect Bound Podcast is brought to you by The Panel Jumper. See everything Cole Hornaday and I do at thepaneljumper.com, as well as Comics Dungeon here at 319 Northeast 45th Street in beautiful downtown Wallingford, or 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at comicsdungeon.com. Subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts or however you get your shows at perfectboundpodcast.com. Send us an email, perfectboundpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you again, Jeff, and we will see you all next week.